The Gospel lesson is found on page 900 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered and his raiment became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they awakened, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you allow us the privilege of coming together in your presence to worship you, to have this time of fellowship with you and with one another. Lord, as we come this morning, we come with an openness and an eagerness to hear your voice speaking to us. Lord, we ask that you would do that during this time, that you would open our ears and our minds and our hearts to be receptive to all that you have for us this day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, back in the 1970s and 80s, there was a successful advertising campaign associated with the financial investment company E.F. Hutton. It is built around their motto, and I'm sure you all remember it, "When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen." The idea being that people had learned the value of listening to that broker because of a proven track record with making good investments. In other words, it paid to listen because they knew what they were talking about. Well, in 1980, some executives in the company engaged in some devious business practices, leading to an FDIC investigation in 1984, followed by a federal criminal probe. By November of 1987, E.F. Hutton was on the verge of collapse, merged with another firm, and by 1990, the E.F. Hutton name had disappeared. They had wandered far from their roots. Nobody was listening anymore. As we come to the end of our 2019 Epiphany season, we are presented with the matter of listening to what has been said. In this case, it has to do with listening to what Jesus has said and speaking to his church. In the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, we have heard Jesus speak messages which resound in our own time and place. Just as he spoke to the Christians in those churches at the end of the first century, so he speaks to us today, saying, "Remember, do not fear, repent therefore, hold fast, wake up, I will keep you, open the door." At the end of each one of those seven letters, we hear the same admonition. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Well, this morning our gospel lesson takes us up a high mountain with Jesus and three of his closest disciples, Peter, John, and James. It is roughly 60 years before the writing of those letters in Revelation. On that mountain, the three disciples are given a deeper glimpse into the identity of Jesus as he is transfigured before their eyes. There is much we could say about this whole event, and we have done so on various occasions, but for today, I want to draw our attention to one specific feature, what we hear in verse 35. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." What the disciples saw and heard from God the Father on that mountain carries the same admonition as each of the letters in Revelation. The overshadowing cloud being indicative of God's presence, just as with Moses on Mount Sinai that we read about back in Exodus. The voice being the voice of God himself. In that context, God provides a pointed identification of Jesus as the eternal Son of God who had come into this world as the perfect revelation of the Father and the perfect provision for the salvation of the world. His identity is clear, his character unblemished, his integrity intact. Therefore, listen. The divine admonition to listen to Jesus was not just for that moment. It was to be a pattern of life for each and every person who is to become a follower of Jesus. Depending on what is going on in our lives on any particular day, we may very well find one of the seven messages from the seven letters especially appropriate and meaningful. The question follows, what does it mean for me to listen to Jesus? What does it mean for you to listen to Jesus? Well, if you've ever participated in a trust walk, you get the idea. If you're not familiar with a trust walk, in that activity, each person in a group of people is blindfolded except for the leader. The object is for the people in the group to get from one place to another, but only the leader can see where they are going and the various obstacles in the way. The only way they can complete the journey successfully is by listening to and following the directions of the leader. More than just hearing the words, each person must actively respond to what the leader is saying. Each one must listen responsively. Well, as faithful followers of Jesus, it is necessary for us to listen responsively to what he says. To listen responsively means we listen, we hear, and we act. Which makes us wonder, with so many distractions, how do we listen? With so many opinions of what is true, what do we hear? With so many choices and such limited energy, how do we act? In the frenzy of life, it is easy to forget that the Lord has spoken, and we have that available to us in the Scriptures. But we have this weird attraction aversion response to the Bible, don't we? We want to know what it says, but we don't want to know. We want to understand it, but we don't want to understand it. I think of what Mark Twain once said, "It's not the things which I do not understand in the Bible which trouble me, but the things which I do understand." We get what he means there, don't we? Christians have grappled with this from the very beginning, and it is a pattern which continues today. But plugging our ears to what God has said is to rob ourselves of the benefit of what he says to us. St. Chrysostom, the famous bishop of Constantinople around 400 AD, pointed out, "All the problems in the church are due to the lack of scriptural knowledge." Not long after that, St. Jerome, the Bible scholar in chief, author of the Latin Vulgate translation, St. Jerome put it this way, "Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ." More recently, just a few years ago, the German cardinal Gerhard Müller expressed much the same thing. The most serious problem in the church today is its tendency to compromise with the world and withdraw from proclaiming the whole truth. Do you see the pattern? It's been around forever. From the first century to the fourth and fifth centuries to the 21st century, the need is the same for Christians everywhere to listen to the Lord. For us to listen responsively to Jesus, we need to be intentional about having set apart time with Him, as well as paying attention as we go through each day. Listening responsively to what He has said as recorded in the Scriptures and as it has been understood by Christians through the ages. And listening responsively to what He says to us in our prayers, providing specific guidance and living out what He has said more generally. Spending time with other believers, listening together and discerning together the implications of what we hear Jesus say. Remembering that He promises to be with us always, equipping and empowering us to do what He has for us to do. Then, walking in the way He has set before us in faith and faithfulness. As we know, the disciple Peter had many ups and downs as a follower of Jesus. The mountaintop experience of today was something he wanted to preserve, but he was off base in how to do that, wasn't he? Peter needed to hear the Father's voice directing him to Jesus, saying, "Listen to Him." As he did, it would lead back down the mountain to actively engage the world. And frankly, that was a scary thought. But Jesus was with him. Some years later, the Apostle Peter, grown in his own understanding and what he was able to share with other Christians regarding their life in Christ, wrote this: "You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God." Then, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, Peter adds, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever." Through the seven letters to the seven churches, Jesus speaks to his church even still. The aim of each message being to draw his people closer to himself so that they may live as faithful witnesses to him. He speaks, saying, "Remember, do not fear, repent therefore, hold fast, wake up, I will keep you, open the door." He says all of those things to us, but we need to listen. The Anglican bishop J.C. Ryle put it well: "Let it be our principal aim to hear Christ's voice and follow him whithersoever he goeth." Folks, that is the way which leads to eternal life. Let's bow our heads as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that you have chosen to make yourself known to us. You have revealed yourself to us through your word. You sent your Son to become one of us, to reveal yourself in person, and to redeem us to yourself. We are grateful for that. Father, we pray that you would indeed help us to listen to him. Let us recognize in Jesus the Good Shepherd who calls us each by name. And as we hear his call, to follow him faithfully wherever that may lead, knowing that ultimately it leads to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.